Anybody thankful tonight? Hallelujah. David said, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, men would have swallowed me up quick when their wrath was kindled against me. You know, it doesn't take much to kindle a fire. That little tongue, it said, it set hell on fire. Even God talked about when my wrath is kindled but a little. Ooh, the kindling. Just the beginning of it that sets a whole world on fire. I'm glad that my heart was kindled one day with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It set my soul on fire. It set my life on fire, my desires on fire. Hallelujah. I've not been the same since I found God and God found me. Ooh, I got a lot to say, not a lot of time to say it in. Let's look at Matthew 6 and 8. I want to, every once in a while, I like to do this, just slow down. I'm going to try to stay calm, you know, and just teach something to you from... I want to save you some time. Does anybody like to save time? Yeah, because we always say, I don't have time. Well, I want to help you save some time, okay? So you'll have some other time to do some things. Amen. I don't want to waste my time. Let's look at Matthew 6 and 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Hypocrites. We're going to read it in a minute. Don't be like them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Read that last part with me. Before you ask. Let's say it again. Before you ask. And that's my title tonight. Before you ask. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm so thankful that I've got hungry hearts here tonight. I've got people that desire the word of the Lord and the teaching of your word, Lord. They want to incorporate what they learn into their lives so they can better serve you. Help us to learn, be meek and humble, Lord, at all times. That we're always willing to learn more. We don't know it all. God never will. But one day we will know you face to face. Jesus, reveal yourself to us tonight through your word. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I truly am grateful for, I became a son of God about 48 years ago, over 48 years ago, be 49 March 30th, I became a son of God. I was born again of the water and of the Spirit. And you cannot be a son of God or daughter of God without being born again, right? I mean, you have to be born again in order to be a son of God. And so being born into this kingdom is a mighty important thing, because when you're born into the household of God, as Paul says, then you get to be raised in the household of God. And I'm thankful for my raising in the household of God, because I was raised in the household of God. I've been in this long enough. It doesn't mean no one will ever be in it long enough they won't fail. You understand that. However, I've been in this long enough. I've seen a lot of Johnny come latelys that are going to tell me what to do, and they're going to tell me how I ought to do it, and you know, and they got a sign from the Lord, and they got a word from the Lord, and all these kind of things. And when they're come and gone, I'm still here. I'm still serving the Lord, and I'm still the Son of God. I'm still want to be a steady one all the way to the end. The one that's going to be saved is the one that endures to the end, not the one that starts out the swift or jumps the highest, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So I'm thankful for my raisings and the time that I've been. I'm glad my testimony, and it's a great testimony. I've been in this 6 months. That's a wonderful testimony. But how much more powerful that ought to have been in 60 years? Moses learned the house of Pharaoh because of one reason. He was raised in it. He was raised in it. And the Lord allowed him because he would come back later and know everything about Pharaoh and know everything about the land of Pharaoh. But he also sent him into the wilderness to learn the mountainous area of the of all those. He married a lady there, and he'd become Jethro's son-in-law, and he herded his sheep on the backside of the mountain. That helped him to be raised in the mountainous area so he would know how to lead them through the wilderness. So I thank God for our raisings tonight. Amen. Before you ask, the Bible clearly tells us that we really don't know how to pray. There, let me read you the scripture if I can find it. It's in Romans 8 and 26, I think. I know you've been in this a long time like I have, but I will be the first to confess to you, I don't know how to pray. You can say you do all you want to. Then let's go. Get with it. Teach us. Isn't that what the disciples said? They were standing with the one to pray to, and they still said, teach us how to pray. Well, they were lacking one thing at that time that you and I have. And here it is. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. See, I need help to pray. Our infirmities, my weakness, my flesh, my carnal desires many times outweighs my spiritual prayers. Give me, help me, you know, I need, okay? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I know you prayed for the house on the corner with the white shutters and the blue trim. I know that, and I'm not telling you that's wrong, but I'm going to teach you something tonight you've probably never understood before. We know not how we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I can't even pray it. I can't even say it. Uttered with your tongue. It can't even be uttered. It makes intercession for us with things I can't even say. I'd rather let my spirit do the praying than me carnally doing the praying. Because many times we get carnal real quick in our prayer. So stay with me tonight. The most important part of this passage of Scripture that I just read you one verse, we're going to read some more of it, is what you should know before you ask. What you should know before you ask. Only ask for what you know what the answer will be. Now that's going to sound strange when I tell you this. I'm going to ask God for the things I already know the answer to. And you might say, well, why ask if you already know the answer? Why seek if you already know the answer? I'm going to show you. You're going to have to stay with me or you'll think I'm teaching false doctrine tonight. Jesus did say to ask, and it shall be given to you, to seek, and ye shall find, to knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He said that. But before you ask, there's some things you need to know. Before you seek, there's some things you need to know. And before you knock, it would be good you know what's on the other side of that door before you say, open this door for me. And you don't really know what's on the other side of that door. You don't really know what you're asking for. Lord, give her to me. You don't know. You know, I know you see that as maybe your sweetheart, but it's somebody else's nightmare they raise. You know, you don't know how to pray as you ought. For everyone that asketh, he says, receiveth. Now see, here's where we get messed up. Because we read these scriptures and then we don't understand them. Everyone that asketh, receiveth, and everyone that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened to you. How many times have you asked for things and didn't get it? How many times did you ask God to open a door? That job is for me. I know. Oh, I bind that job in Jesus' name. And you're telling everybody you got the job. They hired somebody else. They hired somebody else. And so how many times have you sought for something and worked for something and you just thought that's going to be it? I want to teach you, know the answer before you ask. I'd like to read these scriptures that lead up to our text verse tonight. Let's go back to Matthew 6 and 1. He said, take heed that ye do not your alms. See, he's going to teach us what not to do. I was talking with my wife the other day. We were sitting down and talking about some different things, and, And you talk to her just like I would talk to myself. And I was saying, Lord, I learned a lot of what not to do from some other people I've been under. You know, I've learned not to do that. So I don't want to repeat the same mistakes. So the Lord is telling them, don't repeat the same mistakes that you see other people do. Okay? Because many times we go by what we see. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Note, I want you to notice he called it your Father which is in heaven. So I must be a son and you must be a daughter because it's the Father that we're giving this to. So you need to know this before you give that you don't do like they do. I'm not against, I understand churches take up offerings. We don't do that here and I thank God we don't. But, and that's okay, but you know, I can't help it. I sat in the pew and I'd see people take $2 and they'd split them like that. Let me know they've given $2 or $5 or I'll give $100 to that. How many of y'all get? That's baloney. I'm sorry. It's not. I don't go for that. They may do it and they may say it's okay, but the book says this. I'm sorry. I'm told y'all would be calm. I'm sorry. It says in verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thy alms or you give, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, the temples, or in the churches, and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. I mean, how do you like it when someone sitting next to you says, I give $1,000 to that, and you don't even have $1,000 to give? How are you going to get up and say, I give $5, when they said they'd give $1,000? You intimidated them. And their $5 may mean more than your $1,000 to the Father you give it to. Whew, I got to calm down. Verily I say unto you, he says, don't do like they do. They just got their reward. They got their glory. They got their praise. And boy, he must be blessed because look at how much he gave. That's good. But when thou doest alms, when you give, now this is tight, y'all. This is tight. Would you do this for me? Hold up both your hands if you don't mind. I'm sorry. I need participation tonight. Let not your left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You put them down now. That's tough, isn't it? Didn't your right hand and your left hand both know that they were up? If I do this, I know my right hand is behind my back and my left hand is up. And I know all that. He's saying it's supposed to be so discreet. Ooh, so discreet that your right hand and your left hand wouldn't even know. Boy, that's discreet, huh? That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. I'm so glad he sees in secret. Himself shall reward thee openly. I'm glad that he sees in secret, and what he does openly is his business. I didn't give to get the reward. So before you pray, he said, you need to know this. Before you give alms, you need to know this. Right? Before you give, he said, you need to know this. So that I guarantee you, see, this is what I'm talking about. I guarantee you, if you give in secret, I guarantee you he'll reward you openly. I know that do it that way, I know what I get. I do it the other way, I don't know what I get. I got my reward right there. But I know before I give, before I ask, before I do anything, I already know. Are you already getting with me now? I already know. So when I do it, I already know. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as those hypocrites over there. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Whew. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I know that, without a doubt, I know that if I'll pray in secret, That's great. We pray open. I don't pray so y'all can hear me. I pray a little prayer before I preach because I need the anointing of the Lord. There's no doubt I need that. But when I really pray, y'all, I want to be by myself. I don't want anybody around me. And I want to pray to the Lord in secret because that's where he's at. How many of you see him right now? You see, he's in secret. But he becomes manifest openly. Now, I know before I pray, if I do this, what the results will be. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition. There's two kinds of prayers that he rebuked. Real long ones and real vain ones. And I'm not against praying an hour, 2 hours or 3 hours. It's where you do it and how you do it and what you say when you do it. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, and here we go, before you ask. Before you ask. I need to know that he already knows what I need of. So before I ask, I already know what the answer will be. Now I'm going to cover these other things we ask him for. So I know that before I ask, I need to pray in secret. I don't want to pray a vain repetition prayer. But the most important thing for me to know about this passage of Scripture is that he already knows. And I need to know before I do these things what the answer and outcome will be. So that I don't begin to wonder, have you ever wondered, does God even hear me? Is there a God? I mean, come on, why doesn't he answer my prayers? So with that thought in mind, I want to teach you as the Lord did, how to pray. Because before you pray, see, this is all the same passage of Scripture, and it leads into what we call the Lord's Prayer. And the most important thing is to realize, Brother Bowden, before you ask, he already knows. You need to know something before you pray. You need to know something before you knock. You need to know something before you ask. And you need to know that he will answer that without a doubt. See? Now, watch. So before you pray, he said, pray after this manner. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth